Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week, the Champions League and the Europa League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and just like we did in our last episode, we want to dedicate some more time in this episode to celebrate Women's History Month by hearing from two special guests I have a feeling our listeners will be familiar with.
That's right, Musty. Last episode, we heard from Sean Macielis and Olivia Smart, so make sure you check out those that we've done already. Today, we're going to hear from two very important players from Manchester City. We'll hear from Kevin De Bruyne in a little bit. But first, Rebecca Lowe had the chance to talk with Manchester City and US Women's National Team midfielder Rose Lavelle. Let's listen into their conversation now.
Well, Rose, it's lovely to have you with us here on NBC. It is, of course, Women's History Month and International Women's Day as well. Plenty to celebrate. I'd love to start by asking you about maybe a woman in your life who has inspired you and how maybe that came to pass.
I always think of my grandma. She had 12 children, and now I have like 40 plus cousins and just like a million. So she has a million grandkids, great grandkids, and I think she's just like such an incredible woman who just is like has the kindest heart and the most humble person. So I've always looked up to her, and she's somebody that just like kind of inspires me every day to be a better person.
And where is she, Rose? Is she over in the U.S.?
Yeah, she's back in my hometown, Cincinnati.
Oh, so I'm sure you haven't seen her for a wee while. I'm sure you miss her.
Yeah, it has been a while since I've seen her, but she actually always texts me little heart emojis every day, so we just have this nice little strand of text that's just back and forth hearts to each other.
Oh, that is the absolute cutest. I love it. You, of course, are one of the 2019 World Cup winners, and so many girls and women are today, Rose, dreaming of being, of course, the next Rose Lavelle. So did you think at any point in your life when you were growing up that you would be in such a position to inspire so many?
I mean, I had always envisioned myself playing professional soccer, but I don't think I ever really understood the magnitude of what that meant, and I know how important it was for me to have female role models to look up to. I mean, I was obsessed with Mia Hamm, Christine Lilly, Julie Foudy, all of them, and it was so important for me to like see them and know that I wanted to be in their shoes one day. So it's kind of cool now that I find myself in their shoes, and I feel like it's kind of come full circle, and I'm able to give back to the sport in the same way it's given to me. But yeah, I don't think I ever like thought that that would be the case, but it's definitely cool that it is.
Absolutely. And with it being Women's History Month, how important is it to you personally to raise awareness about not only people like your grandmother, but other fierce women around the world and all of their contributions? How important is it to you personally, Rose, to raise that awareness about these great women?
Yeah, I think it's always important to celebrate women, not just on these like special days, but like every single day. I think it's important we acknowledge the contribution women have had to society and everything that they've done to help progress and make this world a better place. And obviously it's extra fun to celebrate on those days, but hopefully we can continue to celebrate them year round.
When you were a little girl and you watched the likes of Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy, it was definitely a different world, Rose, to where it is now with women in football, women in soccer. And now you live in the UK, you've seen that side of it over there as well. Looking to the future and maybe thinking about the little Rose Lavelles that are out there right now, when they get to be professional players, how do you want to see more women in football in the US, maybe in the UK? How, in what roles, and how do you want to see a more representative sport?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I think we're definitely starting to see that, is like we need more investment in the game, and I think you're seeing a lot of like support and excitement around the game. It's a really exciting time for women's football in that sense, and I think the next step is like globally, I want every female professional soccer player to really feel like this is their like full-time job and not have to feel like they have to pick up other like side jobs to help like maintain their life. I think if we can continue to get investment and grow the game and make this a like truly viable option for a career year-round for women everywhere, not just in the U.S., not just in the U.K., but everywhere, I think that's the next step. And hopefully all of us females in the game right now can help push that and make that better for the next generation coming up.
It's really interesting, Rose, because when I was in the UK working in television, when I started my career, and I was covering a lot of the women's game, and I was interviewing the likes of Kelly Smith and Karen Carney and Rachel Yankee back in the days when they played for England, they have, as you say, all had side jobs. They often worked at the club that they were playing for, maybe in the kit room or in a different capacity. How different does it feel, do you think, for a female footballer not to have to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you can fully commit yourself to your job, you're that much better. So I think if we can have that, then it's going to continue to raise the level. And I think you're going to continue to see more leagues grow. I think already there's more competitive leagues everywhere in the world. It's not just one destination league that all the good players have to go to. I think it's kind of more dispersed now, and leagues are getting better top to bottom. And yeah, I think it, like I said, I think it's an exciting time for women's football, because I think the excitement and buzz and support around it is here to stay, and it's going to just make it better and keep growing.
We can see where you are. You're in one of the indoor facilities there at Manchester City. And I'd love to ask you, first of all, if you could give us the story of how you ended up signing for Manchester City.
Yeah, I had always known I wanted to like experience playing overseas at some point in my career. I just I felt like it was going to be a new, different challenge, and it just kind of felt like the right time. And yeah, I just wanted to be in an environment that was going to push me out of my comfort zone and challenge me every day. And aside from that, all the resources that they provide, the team and everything is like incredible, second to none, I think, in the women's game. And so that was another draw. I've also had some teammates that have played here that had nothing but like amazing things to say about it. So it just kind of was the whole package, and it played out really nicely, and I'm really happy.
Okay, I want to talk about Manchester. So we know you're a Midwesterner. You say, of course, your granny is back in your hometown of Cincinnati. You went to the University of Wisconsin, so you're a Midwesterner. Manchester. Yes. I know it's been locked down for a long time, Rose, but you'll have seen Manchester and you've been out and about at some point over the past year since you've been there. How does it compare? Is it totally different? Is it similar? Tell me about your new home.
No, it's kind of funny because before I came here, someone actually had told me that Manchester was like the Midwest of England. I know. So I was like, oh my gosh, okay. So hopefully I'll fit right in. And I have to say, I feel like it is kind of similar. There's that like, the people are like very, very nice, and there's like kind of that sense of like pride and loyalty from where you grew up and you came from. So in that sense, it does feel like a little familiar and more like at home because of that. And yeah, obviously it's been a lockdown, so I haven't really been able to explore, but the little area that I live in is like dog central. So I am like just like in heaven. It's been great so far.
Okay, we need to talk about the dog, because your dog has her own Instagram account. Wilma Jean, is that right?
Wilma Jean Wrinkles.
Wilma Jean Wrinkles.
She's in Cincinnati. It's okay. I have this little app on my phone that I can like log on, and I can watch her from her little couch in Cincinnati, and I can shoot treats out to her and talk to her. So I still am connected to her in that way.
Okay, and you're seeing lots of dogs in the little area where you live, so you're getting your dog fix. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, much love to Wilma Jean Wrinkles. Let's talk about the familiar faces at Manchester City when you signed, of course, Sam Mewis and Abby Dahlkemper. It sounds simple, but it's a bit like joining a new school, and when you're the only one and you don't know anybody, it's tough. But when you just have a couple of familiar faces, how important was it for Abby and Sam for them to be there?
Yeah, it definitely helped a lot. I mean, the girls here are like so nice and welcoming. So I'm sure like without them, they like would have still like welcomed me in and have made it so easy. But definitely having that kind of like little piece of home and familiarity in a new environment was like very, very helpful. And they're like two of my really, really good friends. So it just like makes the experience that much more fun that I get to experience it with them.
Can we talk accents? The Manchester accent, and I'm sure some of the girls that you play with have Mancunian accents as well, probably accents actually from all over the country. The Manchester accent, I mean, can we get some sort of review on that? Are we liking the Manchester accent?
Yeah. I don't think I'm like that good at, I can tell there's different English accents, but I'm not really great at deciphering like which one is which, but like I can tell there's different accents. I just would never be able to tell you like where each of them is from. that makes sense. Yeah, but I'll learn.
There are a lot of English accents, and they're also not very far apart. So you've got the Mancunian accent, and then 30 minutes away, you've got the Liverpool accent. And it's, how are they? It's like so different, yet they're only 30 minutes away.
It's a head scratcher.
Yes, it is. And my final question, Rose, to you is, with the Olympics, of course, coming up this July and August in Japan, gold on the line again, what do the US women's national team have to do to make sure they get that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like every tournament, you just kind of have to take it one game at a time and don't look too far ahead. And I think that will be our focus. We'll be focused on the very first game of the tournament and learn from it and grow and look to win. But it starts with the first game.
Absolutely, and we wish you the best of luck. So listen, Rose, thank you so much for your time, and we will speak soon.
Thank you, guys.
So really interesting stuff from Roosevelt there, a grandmother being her inspiration. I thought, Rob, I quite liked how she said Manchester reminds her of the Midwest. Is that a compliment?
Well, my understanding is that Midwest people are very friendly. You know, our Ahmed talks about the Midwest and how people there are very, very friendly. Is that what she means? She must mean, because people, to be fair, up in the north, friendly. In New England, they are much more friendly than the southerners, I would say, controversially.
Very controversial. Move it on, my friend.
Okay, from one great Manchester City midfielder in Rose Lavelle to another one in Kevin De Bruyne, the Belgian shared his thoughts on Women's History Month as well as the reasons for Manchester City's success this season in his recent interview. Let's have a listen.
Which woman has inspired you during your life, and how did she inspire you?
Well, I think obviously when I was young, the most important woman was my mum. I think obviously my parents and my mum gave everything up. I left home when I was 14, so it was hard for her to see me leave that young. And I know, you know, it missed a little part of her life, but yeah, obviously I think it was something that they were willing to do so I could achieve my dream of becoming a professional football player, so I think that says it all.
Why do you feel celebrations such as Women's History Month and International Women's Day are important in raising awareness about the contributions that women make around the world?
Well, I think in my view there's no difference between women and men, you know. I think everybody's equal based on race or being a man or a woman. You know, everybody can contribute in different ways, and everybody can be brilliant in their own way, and I think that's the same for the women.
How do you specifically want to see women play a bigger role in the future of football?
Well, I think obviously I think it comes with awareness. I think that is becoming better. I think there's more opportunities for people to see women play football. I see the difference in a couple of years in England with matches being on TV, and I think more and more people are coming to these games. And I think this is one of the main influences that people can have to grow the women's sport. So I think this is really important that a lot of people watch them, support them, and that's the way to attract people, sponsors, money to it, and then it has a chance to become bigger.
I guess you've seen that at Manchester City as well, Kevin, with all the investment the club has put into the women's team and all the progress and success that they've had.
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, I know a couple of the women of the women's team, and I talk to them sometimes, and obviously, I think there's still a big difference between the men and the women, but I think the teams are trying to improve that. I think the game is getting better, and, you know, obviously, I hope for them, obviously, that it grows and grows, and then eventually it will become a bigger attraction, and then obviously the rest will follow. I think the schedule has been ruthless. And we know in the beginning of the season was hard with, you know, no preseason, a lot of injuries, COVID. There's a lot of things that happened in this year. And I think we found a little spark somewhere in the season where we were a little bit on a roll, and then, you know, when the moment came there, we tried to take advantage, and you know, it's been hard because we not, I think since the beginning of the season we had midweek every week, so we never basically had like 4 or 5 days in between games, so it's been hard, but the team has managed it in a, well, a superb way, I would say. But yeah, we still have a long way to go. I think a couple of days for Chelsea, the players sit together and yeah, basically said we have to do more. But that happens a couple of times a season, you know. I think there was like words even after the Leeds game, you know, where yeah, some players, including myself, weren't happy with how things were going and demanding more from each other and from myself also. So that happens. You need to have these moments in during a season, because like it's too hard to have everything going well, and you know, you need to be accountable, set the team accountable for things, and you know, that maybe inspired, maybe it didn't make any difference, but obviously when you have a meeting and it goes bad after, then everybody will say it's going to be that meeting. But I'm doesn't, it happens all the time, so I don't know. I'm a lot in meetings with a lot of people. I know the club really well. I've been here for 6 years. You know, I'm thinking I'm one of the oldest persons now. So I know how the club runs and how the people around it work. So I think I have quite a good view of the way this team wants to operate and how the players should adapt to it. So I think I can help a lot of people in that way.
Foden's in and Foden scores. The City slickers are back. And they're finding the back of the net with regularity.
I think it's something we had to adapt to, you know. Sergio's been basically out since last June, so it's been really hard. And then obviously Gabby's been injured a little bit. He had COVID, so we had no other chance than to change something. And, you know, there's a lot of players who played as a striker this year, and we just tried to find a way to play well. And, you know, at a certain time it helped, but even now, if you play with a striker or not, it doesn't even make a difference, in my view.
De Bruyne's cross! Oh. Manchester City's lead!
What a great ball from De Bruyne.
Ruben Dias powering in unnoted!
Well, I think he came in and he's been available. You know, I think availability is really important. And, you know, to be there every game, and to find the rhythm, I think as a defender is even more important than an attacking player. And I think the team has been stable. Everybody in the back has been doing really well, and he's really vocal. So I think he helps the team set a line. And then from there, that point, we can push up as a team. And the better the higher the defense pushes up, the easier it makes for the midfielders and to the attackers to press as a group, and the team stays compact. So that's been really important. But I just think that assists, it's not even assists, it's creating opportunities for my teammates. This is my job. I think I'm a midfield player. I don't see myself, I never saw myself as an elite top scorer. You know, I score some goals, some years more than others, but I think I've always had the ability to create opportunities for my teammates at any point in my career, and that's always been the case. But even if it's not an assist, you know, I'm there to create opportunities for my front players, for whoever is in the box. And if they score, I get an assist, so that makes it good for me. I started off when I was younger as an attacking midfielder, but I don't see myself as an attacking midfielder. I'm a central midfielder, so I play attacking sometimes, I play defensive, I play left, I play right, so it depends what my job is game by game, and that changes all the time over here. So, you know, there's maybe a game like the Wolves game where I play really good, much better than the West Ham game. But in the West Ham game, I have maybe an assist, and people would say, oh, look at the assist. But I played so badly in that game, and the Wolves game was so much better. So, you know, I take gratitude already at the way that I play and what is important. You know, I know we're in a day and age where everything is about statistics, but it's really not. It's really not. We lose games every year, but we yeah, obviously prefer not to lose too many. But I think there's going to be moments where you drop points or maybe play bad. But you need these moments to learn, because obviously I think sometimes it's better to lose a game or play bad to see where you can improve as a team or as a player. I think when you start a season and people ask me, what do you want to win? You want to win everything. You start a Premier League or a cup competition to win the cup. We never go into a game thinking we want to lose a game or lose a cup. So in that way, in that aspect, you want to win everything. But it is really hard. You know, we were not far away 2 years ago where we won three out of four. But it's a lot of games. The schedule is hectic, and people, I think, sometimes underestimate. You know, it's not easy, and other teams are very good. So, you know, we try to win whatever it's possible. But I know people can talk about these things, but it is hard work.
Some interesting thoughts from the great Kevin De Bruyne. That does it for another special edition of the Two Robbies podcast. Don't forget to check out our previous episodes recapping the latest Premier League results and Champions League results as well. It's our episode with Sean Massey-Ellis and Olivia Smart. You can subscribe and listen to the Two Robbies podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.